Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
I got to tell you, you know, I'm coming back to that that Trump attorney, DiGiovanna, or Genova, DiGiovanna, or because I'm just so struck by the fact that this guy who was a former U.S. attorney would come out and say that since Chris Krebs, the former cybersecurity chief, didn't agree with Trump and didn't agree with Rudy Giuliani and all of the fanciful claims of all this fraud and abuse, that he should be executed. Let that sink in for a minute. In this country, you've got somebody who is a phone call from the president, who's working for the president, saying we should be executing people who don't agree with him. It's crazy. Here to share some thoughts on, well, the super spreader event that was the Pennsylvania Senate's big kangaroo hearing with Rudy Giuliani, and maybe to address some of the claims that Giuliani threw out, I've asked Khalif Ali to come talk with us. Khalif is the executive director of Common Cause PA. Khalif, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks for having me, Rick. Appreciate it.
So let's start right with the execution. Should we be executing people who don't agree with the president?
First of all, in a democracy, I think the highest order of any civilization is civility itself, you know, so there shouldn't be any talk of it.
But, you know, the highest form of citizenship is, you know, dissent, you know, and to say that in this country, someone we disagree with should be executed, I'm still stuck on that. But I brought you on to talk about the big kangaroo hearing. Rudy Giuliani brought the road show, the Trump tantrum show, to Pennsylvania. They rolled out their allegations of all this widespread fraud, this conspiracy. And as I was saying on Wednesday, evidently Joe Biden learned coding while we were in quarantine. Did you take anything away from that hearing where you would go, yeah, maybe there was something that went on? Was there anything?
I didn't see anything, you know. We can't put it on the judges. Those were all conservative judges, Republican appointed judges. Even the judge that wrote the decision was a Trump appointee. And so I didn't see any merit to any of the arguments. Most of them were false and unsubstantiated claims. So no, I didn't see anything that you could truly hang your hat on and say that this is something that we should be concerned about.
All right, let's go with the first thing, the Dominion voting system. Evidently, Hugo Chavez has come back from the grave to rig the election for Joe Biden. Evidently, Joe's got a direct line to wherever Hugo is, and Hugo came back from the dead to deal with the Dominion voting systems. What we know, and maybe you can clarify for us, is of the 14 counties in Pennsylvania that used the Dominion system, Trump won 12 of them. And I don't believe any were in Pittsburgh or Philadelphia. Is that accurate?
That is absolutely 100% accurate, yes.
So that was kind of a linchpin of their argument, wasn't it?
It was. There was no merit in that as well. You just laid out the facts of the case. And if as you look at the case, it seems that the judges are pretty much exasperated by the argument and by the case itself. And again, these are Republican appointed judges who appear to be very exasperated in the argument.
Yeah. Now, the other claim that they made, and again, for me, you know, as I was watching this hearing, Philadelphia kept coming up time and time and time again. Philadelphia was quite often.
Right.
For me, that is one of these moments where you go, this is kind of dog whistle politic, isn't it? I mean, this is kind of for the rest of the state going, hey, you know, Philadelphia is, you know, a bunch of these criminals. Did you take that as I did?
It's tough to look at it in a way that isn't motivated by race in some cases, and by party in other cases. So, yeah, I mean, I took a lot away from that. I think it was an unfair characterization of Philadelphia and an unfair targeting of Philadelphia. And I think there's a number of reasons that we could look at that accounted for that.
So when you look at this, and again, it's one of these moments where you, as I've been saying for a while, the scary part of their whole kangaroo court argument was that there were so many little things that they threw out, so many people who came, who bared their soul, and they truly believed that they witnessed something. And these USB sticks are something that they talked about extensively. In fact, they had a guy who's gotten millions of hits because he's a cybersecurity expert and he understands fraud. And he was talking about, they were using these USB things. And he never really went into how the fraud happened. It's just that they were using them. Some had been missing. So for him, those two things seem to be the fraud. Am I getting that right?
Yeah. I mean, it's a case of just not being able to accept the facts of the situation. It was a resounding loss for the Trump campaign. Not only did the Third Circuit reject that campaign's argument, but the panel found that the proposed Second Amendment complaint was fatally flawed because it raised issues of state law that have already been litigated by the Trump campaign in state and federal court, and fails to raise any claims that would necessitate the relief that Trump campaign is requesting. So
it's over. It's dead. It's been certified. Trump is lost. But here's the thing. One of my least favorite representatives, somebody I affectionately call Ding Dong, he has come forth with a resolution to set aside the election. Mm-hmm. It's already been certified. They've already, canceled all sessions. The next session is not until the next year when they seat the new representatives. But he has come out and now he wants to set aside, the election. He has his resolution. 23 other people signed on to it. Do you see that going anywhere?
No. I think these are last ditch efforts to try to argue, but let me just say this. I think we're establishing a very dangerous precedent when it comes to our democratic processes. not that they're perfect, but I don't think that they need to. the primary challenge is based on the fact that there was a loss, and that there was a loss that was unsatisfactory to the majority in here in Pennsylvania.
No, absolutely. I agree with you on that. And where my problem, the reason I'm laying all this out is I want to get to the point to where there are going to be some irregularities. There always are. There are little things that happen along the way. They happen every election cycle. But what the Trump people wanted to do is take these irregularities and bring them all together and make them some grand conspiracy that Joe Biden had and the Biden clan had put together to steal the election from Donald Trump. And my answer to that has been consistent. If Joe Biden did learn coding during quarantine, I want to know how he did it so I can learn. And two, if he really figured this out, why didn't he get himself a Senate that we could actually get some things done?
I agree. I mean, but the fact is that election security experts have found that the 2020 elections were safe and secure and that the results were accurate. Pennsylvania had record turnout, including nearly 3 million voters who voted by mail as a result of that bipartisan act 77. And so I just think this is a little bit of a sour grapes.
Do you find it interesting that, Senator Mastriano, who I believe is going to run for governor in 2022, and this was really his coming out party, even though he did get COVID out of it, it was his coming out party because he got to take center stage and he got to, say how wonderful he was and how his military experience gives him leadership and how he can quote the Bible. He can do all those things while still getting COVID, having a super spreader event. I look at this and say he actually voted for the thing you're talking about. He actually voted to allow the mail-in ballot to happen. And this is where the hypocrisy and the idiocy for me just kind of breaks down. And I struggle with people like Senator Mastriano, who was okay with this to vote for it, but now that it's politically advantageous, we could do some fundraising and some list building off of this.
Right. I think that's exactly right. Had the results been different or been in favor of President Trump, this wouldn't even be a conversation. They would be saluting the fact that Act 77 did exactly as it was supposed to do, which is give access to voters and, broaden the access and allow people to be a little bit more confident about voting during these times.
Yeah.
Now,
I'll be honest with you. I actually liked the way I voted this time. I'm hoping we go forward and we open up the access to people voting. To me, this is a good step. Look, we're in the middle of a pandemic. We tried something a little new. I would like to see it expanded. I would like, because I'm a person who believes I don't care who wins or loses. I want an open and fair election. I want the results that come out of those that box to be accurate. For me, the idea that you put out, like I voted, I got the first time I voted like this, I requested a mail-in ballot. They sent it to me. I filled it out. I put it back in the secret envelope, and then I put it back in the travel envelope, and I dropped it in the box. Next day, they sent me an email and said, Rick, we got your ballot. I love that.
Yeah. The fact is voting by mail, it's not a new concept. This is not rocket scientists or a new discovery. In fact, it's been tried and tested in states across the country. In the 2018 midterm elections, 27% of all voters cast their ballot by mail. There are several states that use vote by mail extensively: Colorado, Oregon, Washington, Utah, and your state, California. Not all traditionally blue states either. This is not anything uncommon. This is very common and very effective in many cases.
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, I go back to this, and I hope Pennsylvania continues to open up mail-in ballot, because I was never able to do this before, because you had to go down and you had to say why you're going to be out of town. It was an arduous process. Right. Open it up. Give me more opportunities. And also, my pet peeve, I don't believe in the machines. You know, when the Republicans came out and said, you know, Dominion was flipping votes, you know, because this is what Democrats had been saying in the past. I said, you know, I want to hear what your argument is, because I don't want that to happen. I don't like the machines. I'm a big fan of hand-marked paper ballots that can be counted again and again and again and again. And if Donald Trump wants to spend more money counting votes here in Pennsylvania, I hope he does that.
I totally agree. And I think that's something that we'll definitely be looking into as an organization is, you know, I think the pandemic actually and the changes that occurred during the pandemic actually opened our eyes in terms of what are the possibilities for people to be able to actively participate in these elections and also sort of reinstilling confidence in democracy. And I think Act 77 is exactly the way to do that, in part. So yeah, it's definitely something that we're going to be looking at keeping in place.
Do you see any validity in the argument that the poll watchers had that they couldn't see when they were opening all the ballots in Philadelphia? They couldn't see to verify them. Now, look, we are in the middle of a global pandemic. You don't want, if you're somebody opening the envelopes, you clearly don't want someone breathing down your neck. But do you think it was sufficient the way that they did it? And look, I understand this is a system that they'd never had before. And going forward, I'm sure there's a better way that we can do it. Did you see a problem with how they did it?
I didn't necessarily see a problem, keeping in mind, you know, the standard for the pandemic and social distancing and all the things that are necessary to keep everyone safe. I don't think there's a problem with that. I don't think it will be exactly the same, you know, after the pandemic. And I think there was a lot to be learned, but I can't see anything illegal occurring. I didn't see anything or hear of anything illegal occurring in Philadelphia.
Because there were a lot of stories out there, and I'm sure you've seen a bunch of them. I mean, some of my favorite are the guy at the post office who said his supervisor told everybody backdate every mail, which you go, I don't know how you do that with the machines, but okay, good luck.
Yeah. I mean, I don't, some of those stories, I can't give any credence to, and I don't know how those even became a part of the narrative.
No, I mean, and this is the sad part. I mean, you know, we have a president who clearly believes he's entitled to win. In fact, just today he tweeted out that there's no way he lost the election because he had bigger crowds at his rallies, which is really just childish and nonsensical. But, you know, Rudy Giuliani, who was at one point an esteemed lawyer, actually made the argument that because on Tuesday night Donald Trump had a bigger lead, he should have won.
We all at Common Cause are very concerned about the president. You know, these ongoing attacks on the election results, just blatant attempts to undermine the democratic process, and really a slap in the face to election officials and voters who worked tirelessly to overcome the barriers of this pandemic and a new voting process in Pennsylvania. You know,
If you had to tweak things, what would you do better next time? Because clearly nothing's ever perfect. What would we have done differently, you know, in hindsight?
More training for poll workers, you know, or you know, there wasn't always adequate training for every poll worker in the state. You know, we repressed because we didn't have enough. And then when we were able to fill that gap, I think the training was not quite what it should be. And that's something that we're definitely going to look into.
No, it's something that, you know, the more we talk about these elections and the more important I think they are, the more hopefully we draw people in. And this, amazingly, was a huge turnout year. And I'm hoping that, you know, the kind of enthusiasm we saw carries over into the midterms and into the next elections, and that we're able to replicate this in a way that is inclusive for everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think we definitely want to also dig into, back to that question, it's like pre-registration for 16, 17-year-olds, automatic voter registration. You know, these are things I think that are essential to continue to build upon the work that's already been done, especially with Act 77.
Yeah, so, I'm with you. And that's a great idea. I like the automatic voter registration. You know, look, when I was 18, I had to sign up for Selective Service. I have no idea why they didn't hand me a voter registration form right at that very point.
Absolutely. So there's a lot to build upon based on what we saw, what we've learned, and what we know here in Pennsylvania. And we plan to continue to build upon that work, you know.
And if people want to get involved in what you guys are doing, what would they do?
They can go to commoncause.org, and you want to look at specifically the state of Pennsylvania. There's a map, and you can go to the map, click on Pennsylvania, and it'll take you directly to our site.
Good stuff. You guys do great work. I love the work that you guys do, Khalid. I appreciate you taking some time for us, and please come back and talk to us again anytime soon.
Absolutely. Thank you, Rick.
Fantastic stuff, Khalif Ali. He is the executive director there at Common Cause PA. And look, like I said, I want to see open and fair elections. I want to see people exercising their right to the franchise, casting their ballot, and I want it to be counted. It's just that simple. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Send me your conspiracies, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Quick break, right back after this. Stick around. This is The Rick Smith Show.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.